He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on the show by Harrison Fagan. What's your title again at Fox?
Associate Director of Pro Basketball.
There you go. Associate Director of Pro Basketball at Vox or SB Nation?
SB Nation. I don't know if they let me put Vox on the business cards, you know, it's like,
I think that's
they're like, that's going to lead to some confusion. We don't like you're over in your NBA corner over there.
Yeah, that's definitely how Vox felt about SB Nation based on my experiences. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive on in. And man, I'm so bummed right now, Harrison, like right before we went live. Rory just completely Draymond a 4-foot putt to win the Masters. And by Draymond,
I mean, like watching Gilmore Girls reruns or.
I honestly, Harrison, can't believe you and your family aren't into golf at all.
Like just because I'm white and bald, you assume I'm into golf?
Unbelievable. Yes, exactly.
And I grew up in Orange County. I mean, you know, fair.
Like let's keep on going.
I really did buck the odds there, you know, not being into golf. There's still time, I guess.
I mean, you have a bad back, so I guess that might explain it because you probably literally could not swing a golf club without breaking everything in your body. But
no, I can. It will just lead to a lot of pain later. So I don't. I can mini golf. I'm still pretty good at mini golf.
Mini golf is fun. I like taking the kids to mini golf. I'm sorry, everybody, for the brief delay. I was literally holding off thinking, all right, Rory has a 4-footer, 5-footer, whatever it was, for the win. I'm just going to watch him sink this putt, and then move on and enjoy the rest of the show. But no, now it's going to a playoff, and I'm going to be looking off this direction every so often because, here we are.
Love to start the show about the Lakers finding out their first round playoff opponent by you being mad that you have to half watch golf while you're recording the rest of the episode. See, nobody's this honest. Like most other podcasts you're going to hear, they're going to be like, you know, so we've been crunching the numbers. We're locked in. Anthony's like, I got another game up entirely off to the right. I am sort of going to, I'm just letting you all know, I'm going to be paying attention to that. This one's on Harrison.
You got this, man. So the Lakers found out today. Well, I guess we should start with the fact that the Lakers lost to the Portland Trailblazers 109-81. And that means that the Lakers finished their season 50-32. The Portland Trailblazers finished their season 36-46. One funny thing to come out of this game, Harrison, had nothing to do with the game itself, but over the course of the day was watching some members of Blazers Twitter come to the realization that Rui Hachimura is in fact better at basketball than Jeremy Grant. And they were like, and if you were to like rewind the year, if you were to jump back in time and the argument that Portland was trying to make was it's going to cost Rui, Vando, and 2 second or first round picks unprotected for Jeremy Grant. Would you, Harrison, trade Rui Hachimura? Let's just make this not CBA legal.
No.
Would you trade Rui Hachimura for Jeremy Grant in 2 first-round picks?
I mean, if you're getting 2 firsts from Portland, I think you kind of I mean, now you're making me think about it. You know.
Well, that's but the thing, though, right?
Would like, not go the other direction. Yeah. No. I do it. Yeah, I do it. I think you have to take the 2 first-round picks.
So Rui, Vando for Grant in 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd do it. Unless you have a use for the first
round again, picks, you right got to think about what the Lakers could use those 2 first-round picks for. Yeah. Like that's the Jokic package for them. So we're, you know, it's replenishing the cupboard.
I like that. It's like Doctor Strange's, like there's only one path.
Yeah.
So like you'd have to snap Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt for Jeremy Grant, and that would allow you to get
I like Jokic. Vando. This brings me no joy, but Vando with the Portland medical staff, not a recipe where I imagine he's going to be playing a ton of games.
No. Good for the Blazers to lock themselves into mediocrity with Joe Cronin and Jeremy Grant, Chauncey Billups.
I mean, Anthony, I think anytime you you win less than half of your games, you got to make sure that you extend the brain trust that made that possible.
That's probably true. I mean, I don't see how this backfires at all, honestly. Other than that, I don't have anything from the game. Markieff Morris scored the Lakers' first, 4 or 6 points. Dalton Knecht finished with 27 points on 9 of 21 shooting. That was fun to watch. He caught fire a little bit there. Bronny got the start, played 38 minutes, and was mostly forgettable. The Blazers have a ton of guys who are really, like, really good athletic wings, and also Jeremy Grant, and they just kept bothering all of the Lakers guards with ball pressure, and it eventually turned into nobody really wanted to bring the ball up the court, and the Lakers offense kind of stalled out. Turns out that's an important part of the offense.
I will say from today's game, it gave me a lot of pause about the playoffs. Like, I think that if Bronny and Alex Len and Markieff Morris have to play that much, the Lakers might be in trouble.
That's probably true. I think that's it. That, you know, that's it.
I'm not, again, we'll get into what I think. Yeah, I don't like their chances against the Wolves. I'm going to be real with you. Like, I don't think that the Bronny, Alex Len, Markieff Morris trio is getting it done in that matchup if they decided they wanted to, like, bench LeBron and Luka for a game.
If I really wanted to troll, I guess I could go find Bronny's season-long plus-minus in his net rating on the season. But I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. I was mostly watching the Masters while this Lakers Blazers game was on. And then when it looked like Clippers Warriors was going to decide who the Lakers were playing, I ignored the Lakers game altogether to watch Warriors Clippers. It was a phenomenal game.
Pretty awesome game down the stretch. That was all I didn't watch the first like 3.5 quarters, but I tuned in once I saw the same thing that you did, and I watched the end of it in overtime, and yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
I highly recommend over the Lakers game.
Yeah, I would probably say so.
Get like whiplash flipping over to that one. It's like, oh my God, NBA basketball.
Open shot for your life. Draymond Green or Jeremy Grant? Who would you rather take the shot?
Draymond, because at least he's won things.
He's at least available. Is that stat? I don't know if it was Sentinel, but there was a stat where Jeremy Grant hasn't played a game in April in like 4 years.
I believe that is true. I think the last time he played a game in April was pre-bubble.
Insane.
I saw something like that. Or it might be like
back when he was like in OKC.
No, never mind. Yeah, I think it was like the year after the bubble was the last time he played a game in April.
That's an unbelievable stat. But the Clippers, like,
I know it's been several years. I do know that part of it is accurate.
The Clippers overcame some I'll call dubious foul calls down the stretch of that game. You had Brandon Podziemski land on a rebound and then just decide to fall over, and they gave him the ball out of bounds because apparently somebody from the Clippers pushed him. And then they tried to call an and-one for Jimmy Butler that he kind of flailed on. And they actually reviewed that one and overturned it. And the Clippers were able to hold on, and they were able to win in overtime, which means the bracket breaks down as follows. Let's see if I can do this correctly. So we get that there, and I will turn off that.
I will say one thing about the play-in, not having the bracket right away does sort of like suck.
Yeah. I mean,
the play-in games are worth it because they're high stakes basketball, but it does like sort of detract from today a little bit.
I'm going to be honest though. I'd be perfectly fine without the 9-10 game here. Like, they should, the NBA should just be allowed to say, you know what,
Warriors, Grizzlies, go ahead and move on. Yeah, we don't need to see the Mavs again. We don't need to see Sacramento again. We're good.
The NBA is going to say, you know what? I don't think we want another nationally televised game for revenue and ratings.
Do you think anybody is going to watch? It's going to set the Kings Mavericks game is going to set records for. It's going to bring down the average. Like the average viewership on all these games.
Anthony, look at the East 9-10 game.
Ooh.
I'm just saying,
Bullseye.
I don't know that it's bringing down the average.
Well, that's at least a rivalry.
Actually, and then you got Hawks Magic, which they're going to put on NBA TV for the play-in for some reason.
It's going to be on Zubo or whatever it is. It's going to be on Fubi.
No free ads. I like it. Just keep saying the name wrong. Make them pay you to get their name right.
It's going to be on Temu.
They're like, wait, why is the Hawks Magic game on Clipper Vision?
So that's the bracket as it looks like. And, we'll get to this a little bit later in the show, but I think the bracket breaks down pretty well for the Lakers here.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll get to why here in a bit, but let's start though. Let's break down the, all right, I'm going to do this and then it makes me do that. And then I do that. All right. So the, the Lakers and Wolves series is a fun one. There are strengths to the Wolves that make me a little nervous. There are strengths to the Lakers that I think have the Wolves and their fans absolutely terrified. Without troll. Well, no, let's start by trolling. If you want to troll, you can troll. But I think that the Lakers wind up winning this one. I'm not going to go so far as to say comfortably, but the more that I kind of think about it, I think the Lakers handled this one pretty well.
Lakers in five.
Five.
Yeah.
Wow. Actually?
Yeah, no, I'm actually feeling pretty good about this. I mean, it might be six. I feel like every time I pick six, like I feel like a coward. It's like, just pick the team that you think is actually going to win. And if it goes six, then, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't the LeBron and AD teams where you're like, you're factoring in the math of you're positive that they will not win two playoff games in a row because they're going to be too tired. You know?
That was such an insane thing that they had to do.
Yeah.
Like, they had an actual script that they had to follow. Yeah. And the moment like, that they got off script,
we know they're going to lose game one because LeBron's going to take it as a feel out game. And then game two, they're going to destroy the opponent, but then game three, they're going to be tired. So they're going to lose that one.
Yeah. No, I think I'm mostly with you, honestly. Yeah. Luka against the Wolves has been a fun one for teams or, you know, fans of Luka's. Anthony Edwards does make me nervous, really, really nervous. He is an absolute playoff performer. They also have a ton of wing depth, you know, and good physical defenders, and they can switch defensively, and that makes me nervous. But Mike Conley is kind of sort of washed, and he's the three-level point guard who it tends to give the Lakers problems, but he's not that player anymore. So that changes things a little bit too in the Lakers' favor. I also, Julius Randle is one of the worst playoff performers of his generation. Like,
so
truly,
I was gonna, it sounds like you may terrible. Know this stat that I had saved up, but do you know who has the lowest field goal percentage since the 70s among players to take more than 15 shots a game in the playoffs?
I love that you had this lined up. And I love that. I mean, I said it already, but go ahead. Is it Randall?
Yeah, it's Randall.
Unreal.
You want to guess what he is shooting in his career over his career in the playoffs?
From the field?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you how long it's been? Give you a sense of how long it's been. The number two is Michael Ray Richardson, who played in the 70s.
Eesh. Is he shooting what, like 39% from the field?
Lower. 34.4.
He's a forward.
34.4% from the field in the playoffs.
What?
Yeah.
Julius.
Over 15.
No wonder the Knicks couldn't wait to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Man, that's insane.
And you know, I for one, I know that's unfair to judge him for, you know, his Knicks failures and, you know, those situations. I think his scoring is going to get more efficient next to Rudy Gobert in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and then Luka can basically just choose between the two of them who he wants to pick on. Because neither of them are going to be.
I will say, if we're going to make the case, I mean, I'm not going to make the case for the Wolves seriously and say that I actually think that they're going to win this series. But, you know, if you're going to make the case for them, fourth best net rating in the league, they have top 10 offense, top 10 defense. Like, they have been good both over the course of the season and those positions basically hold over the last 15 games. And so they've been good both recently for the most part, outside of, you know, that ridiculous collapse the other night. But they, they've been mostly good throughout the season, and I understand why people would be a little bit worried about them. Lakers are 2-2 against them in the season series, but they won the only matchup with Luka. Rudy Gobert sat that one out, though, so it's like, again, it's NBA regular season where no context that is translatable to the playoffs happens, and it's why it feels like a different sport. But yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this matchup.
Yeah, I was a little nervous about them for a little while. I mean, their size makes me, you know, if they can just completely turn the possession battle on its head by creating a ton of offensive rebounds, that's something that the Lakers will really struggle with. And again, if their switching makes the Lakers turn the ball over, I think that's kind of the recipe for disaster for the Lakers, is if they, you know, get turned over a bunch and can't get defensive rebounds to be able to get out in transition to score against the Wolves, because their defense has been good this year. They're a big physical team. They're long. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is one of the better perimeter defenders in the sport. Anthony Edwards actually really gets after it by NBA superstar. By that grading scale. Oh my God, Rory with a huge monster shot. Wow, that's more like it. Come on, Rory. I like Justin Rose too. It's kind of a bummer Rose has to lose here, but Rory's going for his grand slam.
I just think, so there's a couple reasons I feel good about the Lakers in this matchup. And number one of them is, you know, Luka versus Rudy Gobert in a playoff series, like, Luka's just not going to lose that one. I'm sorry. Like, I know that this is like a vibes thing. This is like, you know, just eye test, whatever. But it's like, does it feel to you like that is a possible outcome over the course of their entire careers? Is Luka losing to Rudy Gobert?
No. Also, on top of that, if you want to talk about the vibes going into the series, we should also maybe mention the vibes going into the season where, the Wolves and their, or the Wolves fans were like livid at the Wolves organization for trading Cat before the season. And the whole reason they traded Cat is because they're concerned about luxury taxes and hard caps down the road. And this is coming off of the best season that the Wolves have ever really had. I mean, almost literally. And,
It was top three.
Two, I think, right?
Yeah.
Were the Wolves ever in the Western Conference Finals?
Is probably the only other one.
Were they ever in the Conference Finals with KG?
Yeah, against the Lakers in 2005.
Yeah, right, yeah. I would say that was probably the only one that competes with last year. Yeah. And their response to last season was, all right, we got to start getting nervous about checks that we have to write down the road. And I'm a big believer in the basketball gods, Harrison, and that is not the kind of thing that you want to do, you know, to try to appease the basketball gods. Is coming off of one of the best seasons in your franchise's history, start worrying about cost cutting and stuff like that. Now it is, wait, that was Glenn Taylor, right, who did that?
So it was the current front office, but Glenn Taylor was still the in power governor at the time, and A-Rod had been, A-Rod and his rich friend had been like banned from the premises.
Yeah. So technically it wasn't who will be the Wolves ownership moving forward. So I don't necessarily know how to do that math. Yeah. But that was still a move that was made, and Warriors fans just have not really wrapped their arms around this team, even when they were playing good basketball. What'd I say?
You said Warriors.
Well, I don't think Warriors fans have wrapped
their arms around this. I mean, Warriors fans probably also have not. You know, I mean, yeah. I guess we can ask. We can ask Warriors fans, how do you feel about this year's Wolves team?
Should we just... I kind of feel like I'm bouncing around the elephant in the room. Are you happy that you're not playing the Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean... You know, given the way they played today, less happy than I would have been before. But I think it is a more problematic matchup for the Lakers than this Wolves team.
Yeah.
And also, again, like I said this on the show where we were talking about, like, what teams do we quote unquote want to play or which opponents do we want? It's like, I just don't want to have to watch my team try to guard Steph for, you know, however many playoff games. Like, that's just like, that's taking months to years off my life. You know, and so it's just, this is going to be, you know, again, like so much like just like bully ball, less stress type stuff.
So I know that normally this, like the natural segue here would be to talk about, all right, here, we already looked at the bracket. We feel pretty good about the series. Here's the team that you might be facing on the other side of the series, yada, yada, yada. But I actually want to do things slightly out of order here, almost Tarantino style. And I actually want to go back to the beginning of the season. And I want to review this season in its entirety, because I think it's really easy to lose sight of season-long expectations and expectations in the moment and all of that context. And I think in this one, in this case, like, you know, the Lakers finished 50-32. They improve on their win total. It was a significantly more pleasant season, even if it was only better by three games mathematically. You trade D'Angelo Russell over the course of the year. You trade Anthony Davis and Max Christie for Luka eventually. And you arrive here in this place where I think you have a pretty good opportunity in front of you. But how are you going to remember this season, Harrison?
I think, you know, I mean, obviously the Luka trade is going to be, I think, what all of us end up remembering it for, almost no matter, like, unless the Lakers win the title, this is going to be remembered as the Luka trade year. And probably even then it's going to be remembered. It's because, especially if you win the title the first year. Yeah, the Luka trade paid off, I'd say, you know. And so it's obviously going to be for that. But I was trying to think right now back to the beginning of the season and how we felt about this team, and like just remembering things that happened over the course of the last calendar year. Over the course of the last calendar year, the Lakers had the Danny Hurley dalliance. You know, the Lakers had that was within the last year. Well, now the basketball gods are going to punish them. So, you know, so they had that go on. They hired JJ Redick, and we all made our podcaster jokes, but then it turns out he's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
And they had D'Angelo Russell on this team. I know you mentioned it before, but it's like, remember at the beginning of the year, we were talking about, like, you know, I think the Lakers might need to stagger, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves to really get the most, like, sort of, we were having real debates over if the Lakers would have enough playmaking post D'Angelo Russell trade. Like, we were ready, we were breaking pool cues in half, ready to stab each other over that question.
the D'Angelo Russell thing, remember how it was like they could score 135 points, but then they would also give up 140 regularly? They just like had no idea how to get stops because they were at such an athletic deficiency. By the way, Rory just won. He made his putt. So, way to go, Rory.
Speaking of other things that happened this year, Anthony Davis went on TV and told the Lakers, get me a center. And they said, sure, in Dallas. That happened this year. AD was on the team and demanded that they go get a center. He had his big, you know, the people are like, oh man, AD flexing his player empowerment muscles. And then they traded him a week later.
They also leaked that was part of the reason that they did it.